Thank you so much for that greeting. And now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. Today, again, we're in the book of Psalm, chapter 51. And we're going to be reading verses 1, 2, and then 7 through 10. Different from what I had in the bulletin, but verses 1 and 2, and then 7 through 10. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. If you want to see in this book of David, remember last week we told you that David was considered in Scripture to be a man after God's own heart. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, in my own heart, I see David as a man who was able to recognize his dependence upon God for his salvation. He was a man that knew how to repent. He was aware of sin. He had to be made aware here. But if you read these verses of Psalm chapter 51, you see a man here that was broken. You see a man here who recognized his relationship with God and how he had broken that relationship by what he had done. And not permanently, but he had damaged it. And so, your thought for today is, our hope is in the mercies of God that fall fresh every morning. Our hope is in the mercies of God that fall fresh every morning. And that is such a great passage that thought is taken from. Let me read that entire passage to you. It's from Lamentations chapter 3, 21 through 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If you go back and read that account from 2 Samuel 11 and 12, you'll see that when David was confronted with his sin through Nathan, and David admitted his sin, that he had sinned, Nathan told him, the Lord has already forgiven you of that sin. The Lord's put it away. Now, there's going to be consequences, David, and this is what the consequences are, as he went on to outline what was going to happen. But he wants David to know and be assured that God has forgiven him of that sin. And so it brings to mind that mercy and grace of God, that when we are forgiven of our sin, it's not just what we have done, but also those things that we will do. And all of that is wrapped up in the righteousness that has been purchased for us and won for us by Christ Jesus on the cross. And this first part of this passage where David immediately calls for that mercy of God lets us know the right way of thinking that all of us need to go through whenever we approach God, whenever we have sinned against Him and we want to have forgiveness of that sin. And let me just stop there for just a moment. Well, if God's already forgiven me for everything I have done and everything that I will do, why do we have to come back and ask forgiveness? That's a good question. One of the things I want you to think about is that when we come to God in repentance, when we come to Him seeking His mercy, asking His grace, asking His forgiveness, again, it establishes that relationship that we are to establish. It is coming to one who we see as greater than we are. If we only saw God as being an equal, like a buddy, the man in the sky, the whoever, however these little trite expressions are used these day and time, the big guy, if we just see him as that, then that loses that right relationship of an incapable sinner coming to a mighty God to be delivered from the oppression that sinner is unable to deliver himself or herself from. And so it sets up that relationship that it is only through God that we can find that deliverance from sin. It also establishes what we went through with David last week about verses 3 through 6, that David recognizes his sin. It's important for us. God knows it is important for us to know that we have sinned, that what I did was wrong. And that establishes again that pursuit of righteousness that God wants for all of us. If we are to pursue righteousness, we have to understand what is right and what is wrong. What is favorable, what is unfavorable. That is that pursuit of righteousness. So coming to God for forgiveness of sin establishes that relationship. It establishes that recognition. So our reading today reminds us that it is that grace through faith that as we have read, just read. So that mercy is our first plea that we come to God for, because there are no grounds for us to merit forgiveness. We come pleading for the mercy and the grace of God to forgive us of the sins that we have committed. Now, I want you to understand, too, that mercy and grace are gifts of God, won for us by Christ, but those gifts have to be received. You could go to the most expensive place or the most extravagant means to prepare the highest gift of love that you could think of to give to another individual. Your wife, your husband, your grandparents, your children, and you've just gone to exasperating means, and you've prepared this gift, and you prepare it in a way that is just is pleasant to the eyes, it's nicely wrapped, or it's a surprise, it's a big production. But for that gift to be completed, it has to be received by that individual. Now I want you to think for just a moment. Have you ever had a gift thrown back at you? I hope not. But it would be the equivalent of having the gift thrown back at you. What I want you to understand is that mercy flows. God's mercy pours forth from Him. But its effect upon us is determined by our relationship with Him. Mercy gives hope to all of us who see God as loving and forgiving. But mercy is not effective to those that only see God as a God of wrath. An illustration that I read one time concerning this was, you see the dynamics between Judas and Peter. Both of them had betrayed Christ. After Judas was convicted of his sin, he went out and he hanged himself. There was no hope for Judas. He did not see God as a loving, kind, forgiving God. But yet, what happened with Peter? Even though Peter went in a roundabout way, when Christ came to him, he received that mercy. He received that grace, and he went on to become a spokesman for God. A sharer of the good news, a spreader of the gospel, because he received the mercy. Mercy was a hope for Peter. All Judas saw was God's wrath. And so how do we see God? What is our relationship with God? Do we see Him as a kind, loving Father who wants to help us? Or do we see Him only as a judgmental, angry individual that we better not cross? And so we have, in that latter sense, we have a false sense of peace. We have a false truth that is based upon fear. Now, when we talk about fearing God, we're talking about respect. There is some element of fear, knowing that God can do with us what He wants because we are His. But yet again, because He has that power, it still comes down to how do we see the holder of that power. Is He that angry individual that we better not cross because, man, He's got all the power and He could zap me off the face of the earth? And so we have that false peace, if you will, based upon true fear over what God might do to me. That is not the relationship that God wants us to have, because if we live in fear, that kind of fear, we develop anger because we are dealing with someone who we cannot control. We're dealing with someone who's more powerful than me. And all that's going to do is develop anger over time. God, why are you like this? Why can't you do this or that? And those are the kind of questions that generates. Now, the God that we see as loving and kind, the God that we see as doing things for our best interest, that is the God whose mercy comes to us and it gives us hope. It gives us a sense of well-being because we know that we can go to Him with our problems. We can go to Him with the worst things that we've done and we can give that over to Him. And that mercy that He gives to us is hope. And it is a true relationship based upon love. It is a positive, productive relationship. It is not a relationship based on, I better not wrong him, but it is a relationship based on the grace and kindness and love of a person who wants to do good things for us. And that brings up the word that David used here when he talks about the mercy and his steadfast love. There is a word in Hebrew called hesed, H-E-S-E-D, and I didn't pronounce it as a true Hebrew would pronounce it, but it's hesed. And there's been reams of writings about the meaning of that. It's an all-encompassing word. And one of the most beautiful ways that I've ever seen it explained is, think about a covenant relationship. It's a covenantal love that God gives to those who are in relationship with Him, those who have been claimed as His people. It is that loving relationship that reaches out and wants them to remain His own, and He wants to do good, positive things for them. And so he said, if you think about that covenant relationship as in the covenant of marriage, and you have a spouse that cares for another spouse, and say that spouse is sick and that spouse cannot return the loving gifts that has been given by the caring spouse. But that spouse continues to devotedly care for that individual, that spouse that cannot care for themselves. Now they continue to do that all through the years. Or it may be some other type of relationship, but you have one individual in a relationship that cares for another individual that can't return that same care, that same level of care. But they're devoted year after year, decade after decade, as long as that care needs to be given. That begins to describe the Hebrew understanding of the loving kindness that they believe their God gives to them under that relationship they had with Him that they called covenant. And so here David is calling upon that, God, care for me. God, care for me. I messed up, but God, in your mercy, stoop down in kindness to me. All of these things is what David is calling for here. And he says, according to your abundant mercy. I've covered this before and you've probably read about it in your Sunday school literature, but there's two concepts of how a person gives. One is according to, and the other is out of. And it would be equivalent to, as many people have tried to explain it, be equivalent to a millionaire saying, okay, I'm going to write you a check for $1,000. And so that is out of the abundance of the millionaire that he or she gives to an individual. But according to would be more proportionate to what that individual is capable of giving. And so that check would be substantially more if it was given according to the ability of that individual to give. And so David is asking for God to give to him proportionally, according to all that you have. Cover me with your grace. Cover me with your forgiveness. Come before me. Shower me with your mercy according to the abundance of your love. Shower that upon me now because I need you. I need you. And why does he need God? Because he sees sin as something vile to be cleansed of. Notice his language here. To blot out, to wash, to get rid of. There's something I read that apparently in the ancient writings, there was something in the ink that made it not as indelible. as we have ink today. And so when writing upon vellum or parchments, if you wanted to start over, you just throw it in a tub and you'd wash it with soap and the writings would be washed off. And so you could start again. It was a new sheet. We also have that little idiom in our culture about, I'm turning over a new leaf in life. You've heard that before? It means I've got a blank page now that I can write the new me on. I can create the new story of me, whatever that's going to be. I can get rid of all of that baggage and all of that stuff. And so in the ancient mind, what David is saying here is that take that page that I have written, it's full of sin. Take that page that I have written, it's full of my trespasses against you. All of those things that I've done that have broken your heart, that has discouraged and disappointed you. Father, take those and wash them. Give me a new page that I can start again. And that's the forgiveness of God. Because Scripture says, the old has gone, the new has come, because we are a new creation in Christ. So all of the pages of that book has been thrown in the tub. They've been washed in the blood of Christ. And all of the ink that was on there, with all of the words, with all of the actions, with all of the stuff in our life before, has been washed in that tub. And now it comes out and it's a new page where we can write our new story upon it, our new life in Christ. And David is asking for that chance. Let me start over. Let me start over. I call upon your mercy. I call upon your grace. Give me that second chance. It's also for those who have that opportunity to look up in concordances and things, that this is given in the imperative mood. Now, you probably wouldn't recognize that, but just something I'd like to throw in here. David is calling upon God to deliver the promises that God has given to him. Nathan has already told him, God has forgiven you. And so David here is calling upon those promises. I encourage all of you to be familiar enough with God's word so that you know the promises that are there. And when times of discouragement comes, follow the pattern that David has set for us in this psalm, and you call upon those promises, because God's word is special to him. His name and the power of his name, the honor of his name, rests in his word that he has given to us. And in that word is contained the promises that he has given to us as being in relationship to us, in that covenantal relationship of God the Father to his people. And so pray those promises. Call upon those promises. And that's what David is doing here. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise. Call upon that promise as you repent, as you come to him, as you seek that page to be washed away for that new life, that second chance, or third, or fourth, or fifth. You come to him with that same kind of spirit, praying and resting upon those promises. That is the pattern that we see here. And then finally, the joy of the Lord comes through that righteousness. David says here, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. What does he mean there? God didn't actually break bones in his body, but he's in pain. He's in pain. And he says, out of that pain, let there come joy. Out of that pain, let there come joy. That is some of the life of the life of the Christian that a lot of people don't understand, because it's sometimes in our deepest pain that joy sprouts. There was an article I read, and I've used this at a funeral before, but there's an article I read that just spoke so well to this, and I forget the artist's name now. But he's the one, he's in South Carolina Wildlife a lot, and he does this beautiful wood carving of ducks in flight and wildlife in flight. And they interviewed him one day, and he had put a sculpture somewhere at a, I think it was a cancer recovery or rehab center. And he put the wing of a duck there, and he said it was in the recovery stroke. Now the recovery stroke is this stroke. If you think of how a bird flies, the recovery stroke is like this. Getting prepared for the power stroke that propels them. And so he says it was important to him that that wing be shown in the recovery stroke, because it was there in this place where they regained their strength to go out and to live their life. And if we think about that, when God brings pain to us, when he brings sorrow, when he brings darkness, and we have to go to him like David and ask him, Father, I call upon your promises that you will not forget your loved ones, that you will not forget your child. And we're in the deepest place there. And we're in that recovery stroke. Because it's there that God is giving us the power and the strength that we need to take flight. In that verse about we'll mount up with wings like eagles, it's talking about how more easily we'll be able to overcome the things of life when God gives us that strength. But a lot of times when we're in the pain of life, we fail to see it, because there in that pain begins the source of our joy. There in that recovery period, God is preparing to strengthen us so that we can take that flight. We can lift ourselves out of this through His power, through His grace, through His Spirit's help. We can lift ourselves out of that place of despair. We can use that pit of darkness to find the joy and the strength that He wants us to have and be displayed in that relationship that we have with Him. That is God's wish and desire for us. And that is what David is going through here. He's in the pit of despair, and he knows, he's already been told what's going to happen to him. God's word has been delivered. He knows that his life is going to suffer for what he has done. But he's asking that out of this pain, help me find joy. Help me find joy of knowing that I have not lost you, that I am still loved by you, that I have been forgiven by you, that you will restore the intimacy that we had in this relationship, and that I will not be allowed to be cast away from you. This will not destroy me, but this will serve as my recovery stroke, where you will come to me and give me the strength that I need to fly. To fly. Having our sins forgiven, I think I've lost power here, so I'll have to stay here. Having our sins forgiven also, if you remember in World War II, after that war was over, there was dancing and celebration, because why? That conflict was over. That relief was given. That news of the war's end was good news. And you have that iconic photograph of the sailor kissing the nurse in, I think it was New York or whatever city it was in. My father was actually out in the Pacific. I don't know that he knows this, but that he knew that at the time, but I've read before, he and as well as an uncle, they were moving to invade Japan if at substantial predicted loss of life, if this war had not ended. And so there was a troop carrier with his brother on it, who was in the Army, and my father in the Navy, and they had made arrangements for them to visit each other. Small boat back and forth. But the news came, Japan had surrendered, the war's over. And my father and Joy said, bye Red, I'll see you back home. And so that was the joy of knowing that we can come back together and we can be united in a place of goodness, because the conflict is over. There is peace The war has ended. And that is where David's repentance is taking him, and where our repentance takes us. Especially if we follow these steps that David is laying out for us and this prayer that he has given. Because a repentant heart knows that it will only find relief in that mercy of God. And that God's mercy enables us to see sin as something to be washed out of our life. It's vile, it's dirty, to be done away with. Washing that page so that we can write the new story of forgiveness. And when we seek God's mercy in Christ's gift of righteousness, cleansing us from the vileness of our sin, we then experience the joy of our Lord in the good news of our salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what is in store for us as we come to God in repentance. In the darkness, in the depth of that recovery stroke, where we gain strength to fly with God, our joy comes, and it comes through the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come before you this day, we thank you that you gather us together, that you provide the strength that we need to be your people, that we honor you with our repentant hearts and our plea for forgiveness, that we grow with you in the depth of our darkness, that you bring joy out of darkness. And so, Father, may we see you as that loving, wonderful God that gives to us joy and gladness of being in right relationship with you, all made possible by the righteousness of Christ. May we seek it in abundance and claim it as ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.